I'd like us to look together this evening at that passage we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. In a sense, the message we had Thursday and the message we had this morning and the message we had this evening have got a certain link in so much, and it's an obvious truth, and in a sense it comes through all messages, that the Christian life is one where you need to continue to work at it all the time. We saw Thursday that we need to keep ourselves from idols, that we mustn't put things before God in our lives. And it's a constant thing. The Christian life is constant. There's never a time in the Christian life where you can say, I've arrived. That you can say, now I can take it easy. Now I've got the right situation. Remember King David? He went out and fought many battles. But it was the time when he stayed at home. It was a time when kings went out to war that David stayed at home. And whilst he stayed at home, he quickly fell into sin. King Uzziah was much the same. All the time he was humble and he sought God, God prospered him. But in his prosperity, he then tried to do the work of a priest and he became leprous. Hezekiah, he sought God so much when he saw the Syrian army round about him. He prayed that God would deliver him, and God did deliver him. And then the Babylonians came to see him. And then when he knew he was going to die, he prayed to God that he might have a longer life. But he never returned to God again in the same fashion. He achieved great heights when he was with God. But when he felt he had got there, he then, as it were, took his foot off the pedal and he soon fell. In the New Testament, you have Peter who said, though all men forsake you, Lord, I won't. But he soon did. And so the message that comes from God's word, and I'm sure you will receive it every week, the idea is that we're stirring ourselves up every time we come to the house of God. As Christ said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And the word of God is forever telling us to watch, to be careful, to consider all what God has done for us, to consider his precious word, that as we live the Christian life, we might live it in light of the scriptures. It's no good having a map if you don't take any notice of the map. You may have a map that would direct you from A to B, but if you don't look at the map and you try and get there your own way, you're sure to get lost. God's word is our only directive. It's the only way that can show us the right way to go. And I stress again, every day we're, as it were, putting ourselves under the light of the word of God. And at every message, we're being warned. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from sin. Beware of the attacks of the devil. Love one another. Do good to one another. These messengers are coming to us all the time. Take heed, beware, he who thinks he stands, lest he fall. So if you are a person tonight who feels that you're going on with the Lord, who feels that you've achieved the right thing, God's word is, take heed, beware. Take heed, lest you fall. So that is a common link. God making us aware of certain things in our lives through the scriptures. Now tonight, we look at Matthew chapter 25. We didn't read the whole chapter, but if you look at the first verse, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So you'll notice again, these are the parables of Christ. We need to remind ourselves that the parables were spoken for God's people. Some people, they think that parables, that Christ spoke in parables so that the everyday person could understand them. That's their reason. They say, well, Christ spoke in parables so that people could understand it. The truth of the matter is, Christ spoke in parables to confound the Jews of his day. And he only revealed the truths of the parables to his disciples. If you read through the early parables, you'll see that Christ expanded to the disciples when the multitudes had gone away. It says, without a parable, spake he not to them. And then after, he revealed the parables to his disciples. He said to his disciples, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any parables. And far from being easy to understand, as you begin to look at the parables, some of them are very difficult to understand. They need much study and much thought when you consider some of these parables. They're not all easy to understand. But we see it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. So here Christ is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Well, in a sense, what does he mean by the kingdom of heaven? Is he talking of the place where God dwells? Is he talking about God's dealing with his people and his church? It would seem that God is talking about, as it were, is dealing with his whole church, the kingdom of heaven, meaning the things concerning God, the things concerning God's kingdom. We know what this world is like. Well, here in these parables, we're seeing what God's kingdom's like. God is likening it to things on the earth. At the beginning of chapter 5, he likens it unto 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 made sure that they had oil in their lamp and 5 didn't. As I say, we're briefly going to consider this. Our main study is to do with the talents. But again, it's bringing the same point to us, that people have to make sure that they are in the faith. The idea with these virgins was they all looked the same. They was all waiting for the bridegroom. They seemed to have oil in their lamps because their lamps were burning. But in the end, some of them didn't have oil. And the obvious truth in that is that some were not truly saved. This morning we saw the Spirit likened to water. Often the Spirit is likened to oil. These people had a brightness, but it went out because it wasn't fed by the Spirit of God. And these 5 virgins was found wanting. They appeared to be right, but in actual fact, they were wrong. They appeared to be saved, but they were lost. They appeared to be waiting for the bridegroom, but when the bridegroom came, they was not there. And these are all warnings from God's word. They're warnings from Christ to make sure that we as people are ready. Now, the obvious truth is that when you're saved, you are ever saved. But God's word is given to his church because God knows in his church there are them that are saved and them that are not saved. And the warning goes forth. The preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the parent, they give out the word of God. They proclaim the word of God. And that is the duty. That is the duty of God's people. We present the word of God. I would suggest that some people, maybe they complicate the word of God too much. They speak much about it, but they lack to present it. And therefore, a church should go through the word of God. Because that is where the truth is. That is where the challenge is in the word of God. And God by his Spirit will speak to people. And maybe those who are not truly saved, maybe those in the congregation who are not truly saved will come under conviction. And by God's grace will be led to true repentance and come to Christ and in the end be saved. But tonight we see the situation it pictures in verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Of course, this pictures Christ. Christ came to this world. Christ, at Pentecost, he formed his church. And the idea is that Christ has gone away into a far country. But we know that Christ will return. We're waiting for the return of Christ. One day he will come back. But he has left his servants. And we're told that he gives them talents. Now, what do the talents represent? Well, in a sense, they represent certain gifts, certain abilities that people have. And if you notice, he said, unto the one, he gave five talents. So we can see an obvious truth right at the beginning, that God doesn't necessarily treat everybody the same. Some people are given five talents. And in a church, some people have more gifts than others. And, you know, there's a possibility that, if you like, the person with two talents, he may look around and say, well, this person's got more opportunity to serve God than me. He's a preacher. Or she's a Sunday school teacher. Or he does this and he does that, and I'm limited as to what I can do. But the fact of the matter is, to whom more is given, the more will be required. If God has given you gifts, then God expects you to use your gifts. This man was given five talents. There was a great responsibility. It was his Lord's. His Lord had given it to him. Those of us who have been blessed with the truth of Christianity, if you look at these talents as being the truths of Christianity that God has bestowed upon his people, some people have more truths than others. Some are blessed from an early age. They're brought up in a Christian family. And from an early age, their parents bring to them the Word of God. Simply to start with just Bible stories, highlighting the love of God and the power of God in creation. And children are taught from an early age by their Christian parents how good God is. What a tremendous privilege it is for a child to be brought up in a Christian family. A tremendous privilege. And what a privilege it is for Christian parents to have an opportunity to have young lives in their home who they can present the gospel to and the things of God. And the obvious truth is, there's a great responsibility upon parents. Because it has to be said, no matter how we talk to our children, and no matter how much we tell them the scriptures, they will look at our lives. A parent who brings the scriptures to his children, and yet his life does not live up to it, is doing great harm to the soul of his own children. We must be those who live the Christian life. Because the Christian life is about living. It's not just about the Word of God. We are moved by the Word of God, we're governed by the Word of God, but if our lives almost contradict the truths we're bringing, then we bring shame upon the Word of God. Some people, as I said, are greatly blessed. They come from Christian homes. Some go to good, sound churches, where on a regular basis, they're given the Word of God. The Word of God is brought to them. It's explained. They're showing the need of evangelism. They're showing the need of that pure life, that daily walk with Christ. That's brought to them at an early age in a good church. And these are all talents what God has given to his servants. There's many churches today without a minister. If you've got a minister today, a full-time minister, who is regularly bringing you the Word of God, then you are greatly blessed. That is certainly a talent that God has given you. On top of that, of course, individuals do have other talents. Some are good at talking to people. Some are good with young people. Some are good organisers. Some are good at, they might be academic and they can run the finances of the church. Other people are much better at just doing work, moving furniture or whatever. But each one of us, with the gift that God has given us, we must use it. We must use it well. We must make sure that all the gifts that God has given us, we take full advantage of them and put them to use. Notice he said, every man according to his several ability. So in a church, people will have different abilities. The man who's got the five talents, he must never look down upon the man with two. And the man with two talents must never envy the man with five. Because we're told again in the scriptures that we're fitted together. We're like a building. God's building is made of spiritual bricks. And we build a spiritual house. And we must fit together. We mustn't envy one another. We mustn't despise one another. We mustn't look down, but we should love brothers and sisters equally in Christ. And together, seek to serve God. With a man that had received the five talents, he went out and he traded with the same, and he made five other talents. Well, the story, it's quite simple up to now. There he is, the man, he's given five talents, and he goes and trades him, and he makes five other talents. He worked. He didn't sit back, he immediately worked. He didn't wait. He didn't consider when his Lord would be back. He didn't know when his Lord would be back. But he realised that what he was given was his Lord's. And we need to realise these things are God's. The church of Christ belongs to God. It's Christ's church. Yes, pastors need respect. And church officers need respect. But above all, this is God's church. And this is God's work. If you don't come to a meeting, it's true you're letting your pastor down. It's true you're letting your church membership down. But more importantly, you're letting God down and you're letting yourself down. Use all your abilities to serve God. This man, he traded. He done well. And likewise also the man that had received two talents. As I said, he could have sat down and complained that he only had two talents. And sadly you hear that in church. Some people say they want to do this. Why don't they get an opportunity to do that or do this? Serve God with what you've got first. If you can't be faithful in a small thing, how will God bless you with a greater thing? The situation you've got, use it with all your ability to serve God. And if God sees well, then God will reward you with more opportunity. But don't look at others. The man who'd received two talents, he too went out and traded, and he too came back with two talents. In verse 18, we see the man that had received the one talent. He went and he digged it in the earth. You'll notice the tie-up with this morning's service, it's the earth. He digged it in the earth. We saw this morning how the wells, they were filled in with earth. The earth stopped the water coming up. It made the water miry. It made that the water wasn't fresh. Or it stopped the supply of water. Here we see this man took his talent. It wasn't his talent, it was his Lord's talent. But he took it and he buried it in the earth. Of course, the earth was cursed. The earth was cursed when Adam and Eve sinned. God said, I've cursed the earth for your sake. That's why Cain was in such sin. What did Cain bring to God? Well, he brought the things that he'd grown from the earth. The earth had been cursed. This man had took his Lord's coin. and he'd buried it in the earth. And it says he hid his Lord's money. It was his Lord's money, and he hid it. And then it says in verse 19, after a long time. You'll notice that after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. A long time passed. But of course, time does go quickly. A long time had passed, but now the Lord comes and he's going to reckon with them. And Christian people need to realize that God will reckon with us. A reckoning. What have you done with what God has given you? If God has given you many things, God expects you to use them for him. And even if God has only given you a few things, God expects you to use them for him. If we keep our things to ourselves, they won't be a blessing anyway. But be sure of this, God will reckon with us. There you can see it in the scriptures. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. He brings them. He brings them before him. He's going to reckon. What? How have you done? How have you fared? It was a long time, and maybe they thought that he wasn't coming. And so it is with a Christian church today. Some people could almost say, well, it's as if it doesn't matter. They carry on in a Christian life, but they're living an half-hearted Christian life. They're doing what they see as the minimal. Some people are like, they want to do the least. They want to know, what is acceptable to do at this church? What can I do at this church so that it will be accepted? Not, I want to do as much as I can. Not, is there anything I can do to benefit this church? But what is the least I can do to be accepted? As if, again, they're serving man and not God. God is who we will have to reckon with. It is God who will question us at the end of our life. Time goes very quickly. Ask any man who's got children how quickly your children grow up. They're soon gone. How lovely it is to have your children. Make the most of them, because as they grow up, they'll leave home. And even if you've got a good relationship with your children, you'll miss that time when you had them at home. You will not have it long, because they'll grow up very quickly. How quickly time goes. But more importantly, how quickly your time goes into serving God. You've not got long to serve God. The night cometh when no man can work. Serve God now. Some people say, I'll serve God when I've got a partner. When I've settled down and I've got a partner, then I'll serve God. When I've finished all my education and I'm in a proper job, then I will serve God. Serve God now. You don't know how long you've got. Put your best into your Christian life now. The Lord, he'd come to reckon with him. And so he reckoned with a man who had 5 talents. And he came and he had 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You'll notice here that he was a good and faithful servant. And above all, God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful. I say again, the person who received 2, he was faithful. And the person who received 5, he was faithful. God wants us to be faithful. You'll notice it says you've been faithful over a few things. But I'm going to make thee ruler over many things. See the generosity of God. We saw it this morning with Isaac. Isaac had lied about his wife. Isaac had put his wife's purity in jeopardy. He'd lied to this man, and yet God still blessed him. God blessed the works of his hands, and he received 100-fold. We see this man, he'd been faithful over a few things. You've been faithful over a few things. But I'm going to reward you over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it says, doesn't it, when you have done all things, remember that you're unprofitable servants. God is a generous God. God is not a mean God. God rewards very well. It says again in the New Testament, he that worketh receiveth wages. God offers us life and life more abundantly. All to serve God, to be found in his service, is a tremendous privilege. But on top of that, God will bless us for that. No man has ever served God and found God to be mean. And when we die and we stand before Christ, none of us in that day will be sad for the time we used for him. We won't regret those days we spent with God's people. We won't regret those days we spent in God's service. We won't regret those days where we had fellowship with God's people. But we'll regret the days we spent on ourselves. Don't regret. Use the opportunity now to serve God and live for God. God is a generous God. And then the Lord called in the man who had received 2 talents. He came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. I have gained other 2 talents beside. You'll notice that it's exactly the same. The Lord said unto him, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Remember that this life can be full of trials and problems. But when we go to heaven, we shall know the joy of the Lord in fullness forever. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more pain. And more importantly, there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more devil to tempt us. There'll be no more devil troubling our minds with accusations, with lies, and with deceit. The devil will finally be eternally defeated. We shall live for Christ forever with his people, with the holy angels. We shall live forever and ever in total peace and total joy with God. Shouldn't we serve him now in expectation of that? Shouldn't we be thankful now, knowing that that is our final end? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There will be much joy and much rejoicing for those who die in Christ. Those that are washed in the blood. Those that are saved sinners. There will be much rejoicing for them. But then sadly we came. In verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came. And he said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. I was afraid, he said. First of all, look at his accusations against God. He said, I knew thee that you was a hard man. He accused God, he accused his Lord of being hard. And some churchgoers, this is what they say, the Christian life is too hard. The Christian life is too difficult. God expects too much in this day and age to be a Christian. It's too much to be different in this day and age. The Christian life is too hard. Or that church expects too much. I knew that thou art a hard man. Now you can see he was a liar, because we've already seen that God was a generous man. God rewarded these other 2 servants far more than they deserved. God had been very generous. But this wicked man accuses God of being hard. And sadly, some churchgoers can feel that God is hard. They feel they've been hard done by. I knew that you was an hard man, suggesting that God wanted to receive things where God himself had not put anything into it. The idea is that God was expecting too much. But that wasn't true. Indeed, God never gets anything out compared to what God himself was putting. Christ put his own life, as it were, into it. Christ gave his own life upon the cross. He bare in his own body the sins of his people. In the garden he was in an agony, sweating great drops of blood. And he even said to his Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That is what our Lord put into it. God gave his only begotten Son. He spared not his Son, but gave him into the hands of wicked men. Yet this man said that God was expecting too much. That God was a hard man. That God wanted to gather where God had never put nothing in. That wasn't true. And in verse 25 he tells another lie, because he says, "I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth." Well, the obvious truth here is, if he was afraid of God, he wouldn't have hid his talent. If he was afraid, he would have served God with godly fear. This was a lie. He wasn't afraid. Had he been afraid, he would dare not have took his Lord's coin and hid it in the earth. And I would suggest that this talent, this one talent, it represents the truth of the gospel. That's what it represents, the truth of the gospel. It represents that precious pearl of great price. It was the truth of Christianity. It was the truth that Christ came into the world to save sinners. It was that glorious truth. And this man had done nothing with that truth. And sadly, there's churchgoers who week after week hear the gospel preached. They hear the word of God presented to them. They hear the gospel news and they do nothing with it. They hide it in the earth. They cover it up with worldly things. This man was a liar. He said he was afraid. But he wasn't afraid, you see, because this was this man's interpretation of his action. He said he'd done it because he was afraid. But God said, "You're wicked and you're slothful. You wasn't afraid. You was lazy. The reason you didn't do anything is because you was lazy. Not because you was afraid. You're wicked. You're wicked because you've taken the glorious truth of the gospel. You've taken this great pearl of great price and you've done nothing with it." And this is a great condemnation to people who go to churches, to people who sit under the gospel week after week, for people who know the truth but they do nothing about it. And I'm sure we all know people like that. Sadly, some people, they come to church and in their hearts they have no real love for God. Everything's an effort for them, and it's an effort because they don't love God. The Bible studies are dry and boring, and church is something they just go to because they feel as though they have to. They don't find it a joy. This man, he did his Lord's money. He'd been given a great privilege. Not everybody has a privilege to know what the Lord would have. Not everyone has a privilege to come under the sand of the gospel. This man had the gospel. This man had that great talent and he hid it. He'd done nothing with it. And his Lord said unto him, "You're a wicked and you're a slothful servant. You're lazy." And it has to be said that there are real Christians today who are lazy. If they served their employers as they served God, they would be sacked. And that's true. If they served other people like they served God, they would soon lose their job. They are lazy. But I say again, they are the losers. Because we have this one opportunity to serve God. Don't live your old age in regret that you never served God in your youth. Serve Him now while you're able. And you will never lose out serving God. Ask any Christian who's been in the Christian way for many years. Ask them, has not God always been faithful? Has not God always blessed you and been with you? And even in those difficult times, when the way was hard and the work was hard, we've known the blessing of God. Don't live a life of old age with regret. And don't look forward to eternity and judgment with regret. Serve God now while we can. Oh, that wicked servant. You see, he was lazy. And yet he said that God expected too much, so he didn't do anything. And this is an excuse of a lot of people. They say, well, I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. People can use that as an excuse. I wasn't sure what you wanted me to do, so to make sure I didn't make a mistake, I didn't do anything. I'm no good at that, so I won't do it. And in the end, they end up doing nothing at all. But that's an excuse. We shouldn't be lazy. Do what we can do. The Bible is very much against laziness. We live in days where people are paid not to go to work. And there's a generation of young people growing up who... they're in their mid-20s and they've never done a day's work in their life. And many of them, even though they've gone through further education, they've not even worked at college. And in the end, they're sometimes thrown out of college because they won't work. Because they realise they're going to be fed anyway. We live in a generation of ease. And remember this. What was the sin of Sodom? We're told in the book of Ezekiel that the sin of Sodom was that they had ease of life and they had plenty of bread and they had pride of life. There was an abundance of food in Sodom. Nobody went hungry. And there was much ease in Sodom because it was a prosperous city. It was a prosperous city. So people had ease and they had plenty of food and that made them proud. And that led them into great sin. And it's no coincidence as we look at England today, as we look at London and all the big cities, there is an abundance of food. Supermarkets are full of food. There's leisure centres everywhere. And people are taking it easy and as a result they're going into deep sin. Some young people, and I say not all young people, I certainly don't mean all young people at all, but some people, they sit up all night watching the telly. They watch the telly for hours. They go to bed in the morning and then they get up in the afternoon and they do the same thing. And it ain't just young people, there's some older people do the same. The Bible is very much against being lazy. And it can creep into the Christian church. Christians can become lazy. We need to work. He couldn't even be bothered to take his Lord's money down to the money exchanges. If he'd have done that, he couldn't even be bothered to go to the bank. He couldn't have even been. He just dug an hole and stuck it in it, as it were. He didn't do nothing. He was a lazy man. He wasn't prepared to take his responsibilities. And therefore, in the end, he lost the very talent that he had. The talent was taken off of him, and it was given to the man who had 10 talents. Now, in the other accounts, in the other Gospels, one of his servants says, but Lord, he's already got 10 talents. And it shows the obvious truth, that those who put much into their Christian life will receive much. And those who are not true Christians, those who hide the light of God, and those who don't respond to the work of God, they will lose And again, I quote one of the other Gospels. It says, that which they seemeth to have. That which they seemeth to have. They seem like they're Christians. They seem like they have it. But at the last, sadly, they lose it. It says, for every one that hath shall be given. Those who have the truth of God, those who are truly saved, they shall have, and they shall have it in abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he was unprofitable. And you'll notice his end is to be cast away. See, he was a servant. He's actually still called a servant. He's called the unprofitable servant. But just like those foolish virgins, he wasn't the genuine article. He wasn't truly saved. He appeared to be. He was with the people of God, but he wasn't of the people of God. And therefore he was cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's not a pleasant subject to talk about hell, but it's something that we must talk about. Those people who die outside of Christ shall spend eternity separated from God in eternal punishment. It's a fearful thought, and it should make us the more keen to spread the gospel to others. It should make us more keen to make sure that we've not only been hearers of God's word, but that we've been doers of God's word. One day our Lord shall return from his long journey. He will return again. Whether we're alive and whether we remain unto his coming, we don't know. But for certain our Lord will return. One day our Lord will reckon with us. Let us make sure that we're those that use our talents well, that we're not ashamed at his coming. But let us be those that look for his coming with rejoicing. And let us make sure that we serve God all our days. Amen.
Amen.